Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
35 and 9-tenths seconds to go. That leaves 11 and 9-tenths separating game and shot clocks. Halliburton spinning near the logo at center. Way out on the left side. Working against Brunson. Shovels it to the cutter and Nembhard lays it in. Beautiful ball handling by Halliburton.
Mark Boyle on the Pacers radio network, and it was the combination of Aaron Nesmith, of all people, and also Tyrese Halliburton that really put the dagger into the Knicks in game one. Final score, 138-135 in OT, and the Knicks squander a 14-point lead in the last 165 seconds of regulation. Perloff, it was an all-time collapse.
Yeah, Aaron Nesmith, I know he's a good three-point shooter, but what he did last night was out-of-body experience. And there's no reason the Knicks should have seen that coming, or anyone on planet Earth should have seen that coming. The Knicks did make mistakes, but again, I would caution analysts to read too much into what happened last night. Maybe, yes, this could bury the Knicks. This could be the kind of loss that you feel for weeks on. But I think talent-wise, scheme-wise, everything-wise, the Knicks had the advantage last night. I just think a guy got unconscious and there was a lucky bounce at the end. I know that doesn't sound like what Knicks fans want to hear. Somebody wants to blame somebody. That was a freak loss.
Let's hear from Nesmith. He was one of the heroes. He hit 6 3-pointers with 3 minutes left to go in the game, plus added in 2 free throws. The guy had 20 points in the last 3 minutes of regulation, and then Halliburton's shot was what sent it to overtime. But here's Nesmith, said it was an unreal feeling to get that hot down the stretch.
It's unreal. It's probably the best feeling in the world for me, personally. I love it. Like, when that basket feels like an ocean and anything you toss up, you feel like it's going to go in. It's just so much fun.
Okay, and now here's Nesmith talking about yet another late-game comeback that the Pacers have become. This has been their signature so far through these playoffs, and I have a question for you off of this quote.
It's always special. It's always fun. You know, this is what we live for. This is what we, you know, work every day for, work so hard for, is to perform and to show up in these moments. And, you know, we just continue to do it time and time again.
Right. So here's the question, because Perloff, you're basically insinuating, not that you're boiling it down to make it this simple, but that it was kind of luck.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're saying it was luck, or is it being a pro, which is what Nesmith is saying? Are all these games, not just last night, which is the latest example of the Pacers pulling the rug out from somebody? They did this against the Bucks. They did this against the Cavs. Now they just did it against the Knicks. Is this not also a skill to be that mentally tough, locked in? Yes, Nesmith is never going to be that unconscious probably ever again from three,
right?
But doesn't it show some type of skill to be able to, you know, go down 15 four different times in the postseason and come back and win all of those games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But to think that Aaron Nesmith will ever do this again in the history of his existence would be foolish.
Well, that's fine, but it could be another Pacer the next time, right?
Yeah, but it could be another Knick the next time, too, because the Knicks do the exact same thing. Or that last shot by Tyrese Halliburton could have clanked off and we wouldn't be having this discussion at all.
Right, but Halliburton's had like four of these. Got banned from the stadium because he hit this incredible shot over Giannis.
The Knicks have had just as many as they have. I mean,
right. So here's the question I have about the Knicks, because yes, they were the ones who were executing the comebacks against the Celtics, right? They were the ones who were in the Pacers' position. How do you respond now that you're on the other end of it? How do you respond now when you're the one who just got punched in the mouth and you're looking around like, man, how many things had to go wrong for us in a short amount of time for that to happen?
Well, don't you think that bounce could go the Knicks' way the next game? I mean, it's going to be, I think we're going to have a lot of close games here. And I understand what you're saying about the Pacers. Yeah, there's professionalism. I definitely think they could lose a close game to the Knicks just as easily as the Knicks could lose a close game to them. I think the next game, who knows, Brunson hits a big shot. Sure. I think that's very, very possible.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that this would be a mentally tough team, the Knicks. They're mentally tough to overcome all these deficits and come back. And are they going to be able to stick together? Do they trust each other enough? I mean, you got three guys who played college basketball together. You would think there's a good amount of trust there. But, you know, I think about another shot that this one kind of reminded me of last night. I'm curious if the Kawhi shot, which was different against your Sixers.
Game seven.
It was game seven. I understand that. It bounced around the rim 100 times, and then it went in. And it was more devastating. The Knicks have plenty of time to make up for this, but those shots sometimes live. You know, Tyrese Haliburton gave the choke sign when he thought he won the game last night. His big toe was on the line, so it only sent it OT. But he's looking over at Reggie. That's an homage to 30 years ago when Reggie Miller had eight points in 9 seconds. That was also a game one.
Yeah.
And we remember it.
Who won the series?
I'm just saying.
Right. Knicks won the first series. And that was actually
the Knicks won the choke series, right?
The choke was the big fourth quarter Reggie had in 94.
Right.
The 8 points in 9 seconds was 95.
There
was no choke.
That was not the choke. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can't do it with back to back years. That's aura farming. We learned.
And the Knicks won 94, famously.
Knicks won 94.
That was the OJ finals.
And then 95.
95 is when he did the 8 points in 9 seconds.
And the Pacers won that series.
Pacers won that series.
So here's, I'm just saying, things that happen early in series live on, and they do get remembered, and they do swing, and it does matter. So I'm wondering, that was a game seven with the Kawhi shot, but I'm just wondering, does this shot define the series? We still have a long way to go, maybe, but does it define the series?
Well, I'm just saying that the original choke, right, did not define the series. So yeah, I think this series is still wide open. I expect it to go really deep. So, honestly, I think that a lot of other drama is going to happen. So, I guess my answer is no. I think there's another magical moment coming. Okay. I think sometimes a loss like this is so tough that the team gives up. I don't expect that at all. I expect this. Don't you? What do you expect? I think it's going to be 6-7 games, unless the Knicks have an injury, because they're getting run really ragged. I will give you that. They needed this win. They need to win now until the Pacers can use their depth advantage. But, man, I think this is going to have a lot of moments.
Yeah, I think that the Knicks will collect themselves, but Knicks aren't exactly an amazing home team when it comes to the playoffs. I am curious about wearing down, getting tired, all of those things, because that's what the Pacers want to do. They want to drag you out to deep water, right? And Jalen Brunson is Mr. Clutch, but Haliburton in these playoffs has also been super clutch. So he's kind of, I want to say, met his match, because we're going to find out who ends up advancing past the series. But they kind of have gone shot for shot in these playoffs. Have they not? I mean, Haliburton has hit almost as many, whatever you want to say, unbelievable, unreal shots as Jalen Brunson has. They're same right now. One guy's got the award. One guy may have more of a history of it. But Haliburton's right there with him right now.
Yeah, I mean, but if you actually dig down in the X's and O's, I think the Knicks saw some things last night that they can work with for sure. The Pacers can't cover Brunson, obvious.
Yep.
And Miles Turner was definitely having trouble. And the offensive rebounding of the Knicks, that was the story of the game. If they had won, again, if Haliburton's shot had missed.
Right.
I know the Pacers, there's some weird stat where the Pacers got as many second chance points. But when the game was... The Knicks got their advantage because Mitchell Robinson dominated the glass. I think there are reasons the Knicks can walk away, and if you want to convince yourself that there's a glimmer, like, there are a lot of strategic advantages here. They're definitely a better starting five.
Sure, but is there also the emotional toll of what just happened? You had a game.
Yeah.
You had the game in hand so much that Josh Hart said you took your foot off the gas. Like, this game was over. I read with Stephen Bondi in the New York Post that they had this game so much in the back pocket it was collecting lint, and then this happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I think the Knicks could be tougher than you think. I think they...
I think they're tough. There's just only so much that some teams can come back from, no?
Here's the thing. If they win the game two, then it's 1-1.
Yeah,
then it's totally anything serious. I think it's good. I would predict, and I could definitely be wrong, that it's closer to a seven-game series than what happened with the Pacers and the Heat and the Pacers and the Bucks.
I think the greater fear I have as a Knicks fan would be... I think the Knicks will come back in this year. I think this will be a long series.
Yeah.
But this is a game that should have won. So you wonder, does this series go longer than it should have because the Knicks blew this game.
Right.
So is there a game seven that should not be happening in theory because Knicks should have won maybe the first two games at home?
Right.
And then, you know, game seven is anything can happen. Last year, the Pacers basically couldn't miss from three in game seven. They ran Knicks off the court.
Right.
Like, the problem is when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. The Knicks, maybe this will look like a series where they were going to win in six. Maybe now it has to go seven. Maybe now anything can happen. You just open yourself up to stupid things.
Well, and
that's
ask,
what happened with the Knicks.
Ask the Celtics how that feels.
It's the exact same thing.
The Celtics were the better team on paper. The Celtics were, you know, and listen, it went, the Celtics got all-time cold from three, and the Knicks may have disrupted that also, their defense, but the Celtics shot themselves out of the series. They go down 0-2 at home because the Knicks have these incredible comebacks, and then Tatum gets hurt.
Right, it's the same thing. It's like the Celtics were favored after losing two games at home. Because the thought was like, well, they're still the better team. So, like, the playoffs are so unpredictable. You don't know what could happen. So, and I'm not wishing injury obviously on anybody still. But, like, that's the problem is a game that you had in your back pocket, you lost. And
yeah.
it's a small margin in the postseason. So, does this become a series that's a lot longer? Or does it become a series where the Knicks blew a game they should have won? They look back on it and say, we would have won game one.
I mean,
the series would have been over.
They were up 2-0 last year in the same exact series. And nobody would have ever thought Indiana was coming back.
Well, but the Knicks had OG Anunoby basically tore his hamstring in game two. Like, yeah. That team was
on fumes. But they won game. They basically won game three, too.
And they blew that game. But again, it was a team that was on fumes. This team is not hurt. So
I'm just saying, I think it's a long series. Like, I think actually the Knicks are well-designed to be mentally tough. I think Jalen Brunson seems a little bit above this. Like, I can't see him. He's not panicked at all. He doesn't seem like a player who panics.
I'm not worried about the mental side with Brunson, but you'd be a fool not to be worried about the physical side.
Yeah, I know. That I absolutely agree with.
I mean, he broke his hand last year in the series against the Pacers. So, curious if you were watching that game last night, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Yeah, a lot of regrouping to do by the Knicks. And for the Pacers, I talk about there's a boogeyman aspect with the Chiefs. Now, this is much more like the Chiefs are a dynasty. And there's always this idea that they're going to pull it out somehow, right?
Hmm.
The Pacers kind of have a little of that to me. And maybe the Knicks don't mess around next time if they have a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left to go and you really, you know, start playing smarter basketball and really control the game more to make sure you win. But this has kind of become the Pacers' MO. And I know that it's razor's edge because, Talburn could have clanged that thing off of the side iron and we're never even talking about this. But that could have happened in three other games since last night. And it didn't. That, to me, is more than luck.
Yeah, I mean, what happened with the Pacers against the Celtics last year? I mean, quality, being a worse team does matter, too. It's not like this team is not great. I mean, you saw us a lot of holes last night, did you? Or am I imagining? There was definitely like remember when Obi Toppin got a shot blocked and it just happened to bounce to him and then he did a Dr. J-like reverse? Like, that's not something you can count on to repeat if you're Indiana. You can't count on Aaron Nesmith hitting 8 out of 9 threes. These are not possible repetitive things. There's definitely some holes on this team.
Can I ask you guys a question about the Pacers and Haliburton? And this is not, I promise for people out there, it's not EJ Knicks fan coming here. I heard this take already from our friend Boomer Esiason.
Okay. Big Knicks fan, but yeah.
Yes, he's a big Knicks fan, but it's not coming from me. So if you want to blame him, blame the former MVP.
What the hell was that all about?
Do you feel like it was classless for him to pull out the choke sign?
No. That's what makes this fun. We talked about rivalries earlier this week with Caitlin and Angel. We asked, is this rivalry not fun anymore? Because it's all about society and gender and race and politics and all that stuff. That's not fun. This is fun. That choke sign, that's fun. I know that's painful for Knicks fans. Just like when people bring up wide right to me. I don't love hearing about that either, even if it's 30 years ago. These things are painful. But that makes it fun. Even Spike Lee would tell you that's fun.
To be fair, Maggie, you did say Steph Curry hitting
the night. Petty King.
Is classless against France.
So. He did it in the Olympics, dude.
Well,
I'm the petty king.
Just asking questions here.
I think it was super lame.
The Olympics was dumb.
Halliburton was super lame. That wasn't just lame. It was incredibly lame because it wasn't a three-pointer. If they had lost in overtime, it would be the biggest gaffe of the last 15 years.
You can't call him lame. He didn't know his toenail was on the line. He thought he won the game.
I'm more like an act like you've been there before guy. I'm not an over. Talking about an over celebration, it would have been the ultimate over celebration. If they had lost a game, we'd be shredding that dude right now.
Well, it's like there was a famous, speaking of the Olympics, an Olympic moment with the snowboarder, Lindsay Jacob Ellis, and she was celebrating prematurely and lost the gold medal.
Right.
Someone passed her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been like one of those moments, but he didn't know it was a two. The bench clears out. He thinks it's a three, and it's not like he was that far off. Yeah, it may have been a centimeter,
millimeter. I got to be honest. The whole thing felt a little cheesy. Like, he'd clearly rehearsed that. Yeah, I mean, it kind of was like Reggie because he backed up just like Reggie. But I kind of lean towards cheesy. I'm not a huge over-celebration guy. I like Larry Bird taking the shot, turning around, and putting his finger up in the air. That's more my style.
I don't know. I mean, like, this makes the rivalry fun. People are begging for rivalries. We get this now 30 years later. Reggie's in the building.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't have either team in this, but I find him a bit annoying. I'm sorry.
Reggie or Tyrese?
He's a bit annoying.
But that's what you need, a heel. That's the thing. Not everyone can be likable. By the way, in Indiana, they like him.
It's fun to watch, but do I like that celebration? I'm like, I don't know. Game one, dude, you clearly like rehearse this.
My dog.
Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Would you rather have the choke celebration or who did the big cojones celebration?
Tyrese Albert.
Right. I'd rather have the choke than the cojones. I'd rather have that than the Marshawn Lynch grabbing his junk going backwards into an end zone. But maybe that's just the woman's point of view. It's a little like, oh, but it's a little cringe. But I'd rather do the choke than the grab my junk.
I always fantasize about hitting the big shot. When I do it, I hit the shot and I run straight to the locker room because I'm so cold that like it doesn't even affect me. Like, I knew I was going to hit that shot.
Well, at this point, you would have to come back into the court.
You would have to come back out there and play overtime. That's a Derek Fisher. I definitely
would have to run back. Or my favorite celebration of all time was Randall Thrill Hill at Miami caught a touchdown and ran out of the remember the dude who ran out of the stadium into the parking lot? What if he found out like he'd stepped out of bounds at the one and he just went there? I don't know why Halbert's not my style of celebrating. I mean, everybody has their own, people like different things. You like if you like it. I'm kind of, he is being an effective heel. I'm rooting against him a little bit. For these very same reasons, which he probably loves.
And this is what Giannis was talking about in that first series, basically. He was like, when you win, you're supposed to be humble. And he had the issue with his dad, and I think he had an issue with Halliburton and a lot of the things he does.
Right.
Yeah.
And the dad, like, Halliburton can do it. The dad really can't.
Can't get on the court.
No,
definitely not.
Giannis is my style of superstar. Like, I like, quote-unquote, the humble superstar. I know there are no humble superstars.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I always say, I think this whole generation of basketball guys are over-celebrates. I'm old school like that.
Well, some are more understated than others, like the three to the head, three in the veins. Like, these are small celebrations. They're not even...
I went to a high school game. I couldn't believe it. A team was losing by 20, and some kid comes off the bench and hits a three, and it's doing like a full hand sign. I'm like, dude, get back on defense and shut up. Like, if was a coach, yeah, these whippersnappers are celebrating. I definitely think we're in a phase where I blame Fortnite, where celebrating, they put a little too much energy into celebrating in basketball. In football, it's awesome.
I was going to say,
what the hell are you doing?
Also coming from the man who did the gritty for Justin Jefferson
football.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, are you kidding me? In football, getting the end zone is so special, but I don't like celebrating a three-pointer. My ultimate celebration, I hate when you get a first down and you do a celebration.
When you're down two touchdowns?
Yeah. Or if you're a cornerback who gets basically knocks a pass away and celebrate like you just did something when you're about to get torched by Justin Jefferson on the next play. I don't like in-drive celebrations. Yeah, I guess I'm old school.
The seatbelt, which I always thought was a sword.
Yeah, I mean,
for like 6 months, I thought that was a sword going into some kind of sheath, but it turns out it's a seatbelt.
Yeah. I know. I was right with you, Maggie. I had no idea. I thought it was a sword.
I think the sword, quite frankly, is cooler.
I don't think cornerbacks should celebrate at all because you are there to get torched. You're about to get torched on the next play. It's modern NFL.
It's like big men. You're going to get dunked on, whether you're Shaq or Hakeem or whether you're doing the dunking or whether you are the dunker.
You always
get dunked on.
You'll always be the lame guy on the poster at some point.
At some point, comes for everybody.
But if Halliburton had choked, done that sign, and then lost the game, we would be making so much fun of that guy right now.
No doubt. And he would deserve it, but I can't knock him for doing the celebration, the choke celebration, the homage to Reggie, because he thought he won the game. And to be fair, so did everybody else in the arena.
How lame is that to think you won the game and your foot was on the line? That's so lame.
I mean, he's not thinking that in the moment. That's not lame. The guy at the bench is clear. I'm sure there was a huge groan in the garden.
It would have. They set themselves up for an epic letdown after celebrating and jumping up and down. Oh, well, you know where your feet are, Maggie. And three-point shooters have an innate sense. Steph Curry would have known where the line was.
Yeah. Hit the night against France. You reminded me about that.
Yeah, you said it was classless.
I stick with that.
But you think choke signs are okay?
Listen, there's a history here. What's the history of the U.S. and France playing a gold medal game or whatever? Was it a gold medal?
Yeah, it was gold.
Still, the greatest moment was Vince Carter jumping over Frederick Weiss.
Yeah, there is history. There you go.
That's the greatest.
Was that classless?
That was the most amazing play of all time.
He sat on the guy's head.
He didn't celebrate.
On the Netflix doc, Kevin Durant really did not like the French. He really wanted to beat the French.
Oh, God.
Whatever Kevin Durant says is gospel. 888-710. Mm-hmm. Also, someone famously who had a foot on the line. Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he didn't.
The Bucks.
Did he celebrate after that? He knew it was a two, right? I can't remember.
No, but they end up losing the series. They won the game. No, they lost the game.
They lost.
And they lost the series of the Bucks, and the Bucks went on to win the title. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Thoughts on the game last night? Was it classless that they did the choke sign? That's what Boomer Esiason said next door. Yeah, I'm going to disagree. Come on, it's rivalries. It's fun. Got a lot more to do, including some details about Brock Purdy's contract that we had not heard before. M&P.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show, breaking down the Pacers' dramatic 138-135 OT win over the Knicks. My family was so into it. I actually woke up this morning, Maggie, got to the show, and had a long text from my wife about how the Knicks need to put this behind them and focus on game two. She's become a super Knicks fan. My daughter, because of Timothy Chalamet, is into it.
Wow.
Was
Chalamet there last night, by the way?
Oh, yes.
He was there?
Wearing tight red pants.
Yeah.
Oh.
And red pinstripes.
But he wasn't on the side with
the... He was closer to the He was closer to the TNT booth, that's why.
Got
he was on the near side.
Okay. He was there in the ref's face, not the face, but the play where... Mm. What was it? Oh, the ball off Brunson's hand that they ended up reviewing.
Yeah.
And Halliburton came over, I think, to delay things a little. And I saw Chalamet telling the refs to tee him up. He was gyrating there.
Which celebrity got the most sort of FaceTime? I think I just kept seeing Larry David's head on every play.
Yeah, well, he's got that bald head. So
yeah, the head kept showing up. And then CeCe Sabathia was in the huddles, basically, right? Like that one seat where you're next to the player, that's crazy. There is no other sport where the people are as close. And it sort of adds to all the drama.
It totally does. So our pal, Anthony Gallo, who works over WFAN, but was very instrumental when we all went to WrestleMania. He actually came with us as our cameraman and almost like a de facto also producer. Obviously, EJ was there, but he was in a singlet, so
he had nowhere to put his phone. He had nowhere to put anything.
You're part of the story that day, not just telling the story. And so we have a lot of good history with Gallo, but he is a big Knicks fan. He tweeted, "I haven't felt this bad since Yadier Molina. There's like a sports hangover. The Knicks fans today are all licking their wounds. What's your version of this for whoever you root for? Obviously, I have a million as a Bills fan, so I could go on and on. But
what's a Yadier Molina? Some Mets thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Game 7, yes. NLCS.
NLCS.
Yeah, Yadier Molina hits a home run to help send the Cardinals.
Gallo's a moron!
You may remember this as Carlos Beltran called strike three. You may not remember this at all.
Carlos Beltran strike three.
It was going to be known as the Andy Chavez catch, and then that got turned upside down. But anyway, every fan base, or most fan bases, have their version of what happened last night, where you just are gutted, stunned.
Wow. Philly, I guess it'd be the Kawhi Leonard shot because that got a lot of comparisons because Halliburton's shot rattled around the rim like
yeah,
by Kawhi Leonard. But, I mean, the Sixers are a lower priority in Philadelphia than the Eagles. So I'm trying to think.
The Eagles did one to the Giants with Shady McCoy run back, well, Matt Dodge, punch.
Deshaun Jackson.
But they had the most famous of all with Miracle the Metal.
Yeah, the Miracle
so,
the Metal.
So they have the ultimate. Trying to think, did the Eagles ever lose one they should have?
I have
to
come back.
I mean, there's Kawhi Leonard is the easiest one. The Phillies blew 6-7 to the Diamondbacks the other year. Joe Carter? Joe Carter.
You have Joe Carter in the World Series.
Yeah, you could say, you're talking about like just one name. And
just like your stomach drops.
Yeah. I mean, that was game six. And listen, that was Wild Thing Williams' fault. Get a breaking ball over, maybe you don't have to throw a fastball right down the heart. But no, I'm over it.
That's just going. It was only 1993.
But the thing about New York is so funny because everyone's split in their fan bases. So a lot of people here don't care about, a lot of Knicks fans don't care about the Mets because they're Yankees fans. So I don't think that's universal to say Yadier Molina. And Gal is a Broncos fan, ironically. So I don't even know what that guy's got.
Gal is a moron.
Well, he's got Joe Flacco in Mile High. Yeah.
What's a Yankees moment? Do they have
Yeah. 2001 World Series.
Oh, the shot off.
Alfonso Soriano hits a home run deep into the left field seats. Mariano Rivera's coming in. It's good night, the
Luis
lights.
Gonzalez.
Except it wasn't. Yeah. I haven't gotten over that one yet.
I haven't gotten over 04, and I was like 3.
That's a bad one.
It is, but that was like a more long, drawn-out
pain. That was the long goodbye.
Because that was, four straight games.
Although
big poppy
home runs are probably what you remember from
Also, I mean, Game 7, they just got destroyed at home. So that was part of it.
But it wasn't one moment. It was...
Right.
Yeah.
What about last year's collapse, though? Against
Aaron
Dodgers.
Judge.
Yeah.
But we didn't
Judge
know what was going to happen.
Cole,
with
true.
So Judge dropping that ball in center field, you didn't know at the time the avalanche that was going to lead to.
Yeah.
So in the moment, it was like, oh, but you thought they still were
right.
But that
game
did come crashing down quickly, similar to what happened to the Knicks last night. It was in that.
But
one
that, but
right
that
there.
Series ended up being kind of a blowout. So does it hurt a little less? It was 5 games, right?
Yeah.
But they looked like they were well on their way to winning that game, and then you take your shots after that.
Bartman, I think one of them too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And that unraveled right away. Let's go to Carlos in California because Perloff was lamenting the Tyrese Halliburton celebration, the choke, and kids today celebrating seemingly all the time. Carlos, what's your read on it?
Well, Perloff, get off my lawn.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not with you.
No, I know. I'm that old guy yelling, get off my lawn. I totally get where you're coming from, Carlos. You're reading it right.
I'm 63 years old. I've seen the change in these young kids. They're so athletic. They're having a great time. They're as excessive, like you said, a kid about high school and doing all this with the three, whatever. But if you think about it, Brunson had a shot at the end of the game, and so did Anthony Towns. And those shots were terrible. They were choke shots.
Way
off. You
know
what I'm saying? They didn't even come close to the rim. You also called, who do you call the Spurs? You call them boring, but they won a lot. So you're going against kind of what you're saying a little bit, because they never celebrated. They just did their thing, but they were boring. You know what I'm saying? So you got to roll with the punches, enjoy it, and it's a game. But I think the Knicks will have an effect from losing this game, because it showed it at the last whatever 20 seconds. It showed how they were just panicking, trying to just shoot, not really doing something smart with the ball. So that's my take.
You know, Carlos, it's a great read on Perloff, and thank you for paying such close attention to our show.
I thought you were going to say the Knicks.
No, because, well, that too, but also I sit next to you every single day, and even I didn't come up with that massive hypocrisy that you have about calling the Spurs boring, yet not being in favor of celebrating.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, I like...
Thank you, Carlos.
I don't need, like, Vince Carter was not boring, but he wasn't known for his celebrations. He was known for his athletic actions. Like, I want to see the great dunk, but I'd rather, I don't want most of your energy going into the little dance you do down the court.
when you don't get back on defense. Yeah, you're fine if someone gets in the end zone and starts rowing a boat. Like, you're okay with that. Or end zone celebration.
I'm okay, but one of my favorite players of all time is Calvin Johnson. What did he do when he got in the end zone? Absolutely nothing.
Well, they were never playing for anything either.
It didn't matter. I mean, I remember I heard Kevin Durant talk about this. He said the coolest thing in sports is when Calvin Johnson scores a touchdown and acts like it's just another play. Like, there's something so badass about that to me.
Yeah, but
Barry Sanders, like that.
Two
those
great
guys
Lions,
were,
same thing.
Yeah, I think there's something spectacular about having your play do the speaking.
Okay, but I know a lot of people who look at Steph Curry and like the shimmy. Now, I didn't like the night-night to France at the gold medal game. I thought that was a little over the top.
I
but I never said that when he did it against the Celtics in the finals. I
love Curry as a player. I mean, of course I don't like the shimmy. I thought everybody was annoyed. The mouth guard and the shimmy are not his strongest attributes.
He became one of the most popular people in the league.
For me, because he hit 42-foot shots, not because he was shimmying. I like his style. Play is amazing, and he's relentless. The celebration is the only downside. I wish he would just do that and walk off the court. I mean, the ultimate, and this is my mind, every game Larry Bird ended the game with a 35-foot shot and then just walked off and drank a six-pack.
I'm the petty king.
Yeah, that is not actually what happened.
But. Yeah, but the other thing about Larry, though, is he was not so quietly trash-talking everyone on the court. So was he being humble there?
Who's coming in second?
Exactly. That was just walking into the three-point
Right, but he wasn't doing a Fortnite dance after hitting a 26-foot jumper in Magic's
Fortnite
face.
Fortnite didn't exist in 1986.
You think Larry Bird knows what Fortnite is?
They didn't have dances in Pong.
Yeah, you could have done like a John Travolta, like staying alive. I don't know. I don't know what you could have done.
Bogus isn't in today, but I actually went to see one of his kids play baseball, and they lost like 13-2. But some kid hit basically a little dribbler for a single, was celebrating like he just won Game 7 of the World Series. I'm telling you, the youth today over celebrates.
You know, I see that sometimes in baseball, and I just assume guys are so superstitious that they have to do this, like, whatever they do when they get on first, they've got to do it every single time, or somehow their bats are going to go cold.
And there are two things.
They're prisons of their own routine.
You're going to say, well, this is because you're seeing yourself in this, but I hate hypocrisy. I don't like people who stand up on a soapbox and then are really jerks behind the scenes. That's one of my least favorite things. Maybe I do it sometimes, but I don't like over celebrations. For example, Juan Soto the other day, I think he thought that was a home run, and that's why he didn't run out.
Of course
hate,
it was.
Definitely did.
Yeah, I hate when you do a bat flip and it hits the wall. That's my worst nightmare as an athlete. And that's what Halberton did last night. He did the choke sign, and it was a tie game. I can't stand a premature or an over celebration.
Yeah, but I mean, Halberton wasn't like a hustle.
I know.
He hit the shot.
But I'll tell you,
his freaking toe was on the line.
If he had lost that game in overtime, it would be a murder scene today. We'd be making so much fun of him, he would almost have to not play game two.
Speaking of hypocrisy, because I keep keeping his score today, Maggie also was upset about Noah Lyles winning by a nose. Meanwhile, this guy hits a shot that hits the back of the rim and it hits the ceiling of the garden, goes in, and she's like, choke sign, do whatever you want. Noah Lyles celebrates being the fastest man alive. She's like,
Yeah.
I said,
can you call yourself the fastest man alive when you win by 0.02 seconds? I am an idiot. And by the way, I paid for that take.
Yeah.
I got cyber bullied for that take.
I wasn't there for that, but I love that take. I wish I could have backed you on that because I totally agree.
Now you didn't want that smoke.
No, I'm glad you took. I mean, listen, my favorite is when I have a bad take and the internet blames you. That's the best. Thank you, Steelers Depot.
Freaking patriarchy.
Mike Tomlin deserves a career contract, and Steelers Nation came after you.
They're like, idiot Maggie Gray thinks Mike Tomlin deserves a lifetime contract. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's the best.
Perlov said it. AI sucks.
You missed that, CeeLo.
Yes.
Basically, she got murdered on the internet for my take.
Sounds about
right.
And
they embedded the video of him saying the take.
And you still got
it.
Nobody wants to go through the ad on the video, so they're like, Maggie Gray.
Yeah, what a hater.
Yeah, and she specifically said, I do not think Mike Tomlin deserves a career contract. Anyway.
I got called a crackhead by multiple people.
Accurate.
To the point where I was like, do I do crack? Seems like a lot of people are convinced that I'm on drugs.
Who was on crack?
Am I on crack? CeeLo, will you hang with us for a second? I don't want to shortchange your update here because we have a lot of great sound from the end of this Pacers-Knicks game and hockey as well. So we'll get to that. Yeah. Yes.
In the year 2025, can you still call somebody a crackhead for a bad take? Is that a dated reference?
Not in my mentions. They were liberal. Very liberal, thinking that I was on crack.
You're on the rock.
I know. It doesn't seem like anyone's really trying to help me either. 888-710-4ISN. We've got sound from you for last night's game. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about what was your gut punch moment as a fan? Our Knicks fan friends are going through it right now. What do you got, M&P?
Stay off the weed.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you.
the DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mandy discovers ABBA. Welcome to the show, Maggie and Proloff. We'll get to you in just a moment. Asking a couple questions today. Can the Knicks regroup after the gut punch of the Pacers overcoming a 14-point deficit to force a game to overtime and take game one of the series? We're also asking, as our Knicks fans here today, Manny, EJ, CeeLo, really just gutted off of what they saw. What was that moment for you, for your fandom? Everyone's got one. I've got several. CeeLo, what is going on today?
All right, well, even after everything fell apart for the Knicks last night, and in the prior segment, Carlos alluded to this, they still had a couple of looks to retie the game and perhaps force double overtime in Madison Square Garden.
Brunson working, looking for a three. He got a three, and it's an air ball, but it's rescued by Hart on the baseline. Out to Towns, hit the front of the rim. Loose ball in the lane. Bridges has it. It's still loose. He got it back. It went off of his hands and out of bounds with 0.2 seconds to play. This game, folks, is over.
Mark Boyle, Pacers Radio, 138-135 Indiana after trailing by 14 with under 3 minutes to go in regulation. Now, there was still one last inbounds play, and I give credit to Stan Van Gundy on the TNT broadcast for nailing this prediction.
Yep, he did.
He's like, Halliburton, I think, should just hand the ball to Karl Anthony Towns because there wasn't enough time to get a shot off, and that's exactly what he did.
I got to tell you, I was thinking more about that than the Tyrese Halliburton shot, the actual logistics of that.
Yeah.
What if Karl Anthony Towns had stepped back and volleyballed it 60 feet for, like, because you're not allowed to get in shooting form, but you can tap it.
Yeah, but so, Pearl, it's not dude tap. Perfect. Like, there's no way he'd be able to do that.
Well, I just think that
three-quarter court volleyball.
It felt wrong. It just felt wrong handing them the ball. And he did get off a shot. I mean, who knows? Maybe the timekeeper. I have no idea.
They waved it off, even had it gone down, I think, as soon as he shot.
Yeah, I know. It was just, like, kind of a funny way to do that. Just throw the ball to Aaron Nesmith and be done with it.
I think that he probably enjoyed
that was definitely
being able to, hey, I'm handing you the ball and
here's
you
a question.
Do anything about it.
So a million and one things went wrong for the Knicks last night for this to happen, right? And a million and one things went right for Indiana for this type of comeback to happen. But in overtime, when you don't guard the inbounds play, I'm curious from the Knicks fans here, because we put a poll up right now at Maggie and Pearl on X or Twitter. We're asking you, who do you blame the most for what happened last night? And there's a couple Knicks options here. And one of them is Tom Thibodeau. And he's actually winning this poll. 53%, Jalen Brunson 25, OG Anunoby 15, Josh Hart 7. Why not guard the inbounds? Like, they've been talking about it. We've seen this going back to the national championship game against Florida and Houston. I feel like we've seen it in the NBA. It's hard for guys to get the ball inbounds lately, and usually because it's somebody right in front of you jumping all around in your face, and the Knicks decided not to cover the inbounds. Is there any reason why?
Wait, so is this you're talking about the Halliburton shot? Or
no, I'm talking about
the Obi Toppin dunk.
It's the inbounds play, and for some reason they just let the Pacers inbound the ball when Stan Van Gundy and Reggie had been talking on the broadcast about how challenging it can be just to get the ball in play.
I think the Knicks typically how they play that, and the Knicks are actually, Manny would test this, they're very good at causing 5-second violations.
Yeah, they are.
Thibodeau.
They did it against the Celtics.
But I don't think they normally put a guy on the inbounds guy. I think they prefer that fifth guy to play free safety and run at the first cutter. It seemed like everybody was just in a malaise during that play. I think that they had been shell-shocked at what happened.
Yeah.
But they were guarding against the three, too, by the way. They were all really focused on Nesmith there. They did not think that the Pacers were going to go for a two.
Yeah.
By the way, if they hit a foul shot, then this isn't even a discussion.
And then Bridges, fouled Obi Toppin in the dunk. They didn't call. Like, they just lost their minds.
And then chopped.
And what about when Josh Hart fell? And that, I mean, the Pacers almost won in regulation when Josh Hart fell.
Yeah. You're throwing an inbound
7
pass.
Seconds left.
Yeah, now, that
was it looked to me like he was getting held there. I don't know if they let that go.
Oh, it got so physical in the last minute. That helped the Pacers a lot.
They had his arm there as he was going down. He was fortunate to recover.
He slipped on offense and on defense.
Yeah.
Definitely.
On one of the Neesmith threes. Yeah.
Get some new sneakers, man. Come on. He was terrible.
Sounds like you're blaming Josh Hart.
Yeah, that's why I put him on the poll. Because like Josh has a tendency to be the most pugnacious after games in terms of like team effort and things like that. Dude, like you gave up two threes to Neesmith. You let Nembhard backdoor cut you on with 1 minute left in the game.
That was a bad one.
Where
I saw
it wasn't
that.
A play. Neesmith wasn't even cutting to the basket. He was kind of just clearing out. He's like, right. Oh wait, he's gonna let me just get a layup.
It's like
just
a slow jog to the basket.
Yeah, like that. Like Josh Hart, you need to be more focused. You need to be more locked in. Don't
sometimes he plays out of control because he's on the ground. He's everywhere now. It's like it's hustle plays too. So I want to give him credit.
We're talking about blaming Mikal Bridges. Guy hit 8 jump shots. Everybody on the Knicks, they did enough to win that game. Again, I think we're playing the result here. If Halliburton's, we would be saying something completely different if the ball just landed an inch to the right.
But
we
would despite all those
praising all these people.
Yeah, despite all things happened before that, again, the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, to your point on how well he played, he got the go-ahead basket with less than a minute left.
Yeah.
And the Knicks just won 2 games in Boston where they won on their defense. And the net defensive possession, Halliburton doesn't even make a move. Like, Nembhard just walks right to the underneath the basket and you get a layup.
Yeah.
They didn't even, like,
you were so focused on the three, maybe? Is that an excuse?
No, if you watch the play, he's not paying attention. Yeah. He's ball watching.
Right.
Like, and when you're, as a team that consummates, that, like, hangs his hat on defense, and again, you hung your hat on winning in Boston on final defensive possessions. For him to talk about this stuff and then let a guy just walk right behind him and get an easy layup after your captain clutch just put the go-ahead basket for you to get a stop and win the game, that's a bad job by him.
Yeah. What is going on?
He did say that they let their foot off the gas defensively. What else you got, Seal?
Pearl just mentioned Mikal Bridges and that Halliburton shot at the end would be different if it didn't go in. He even referenced on that play, Bridges kind of knocked the ball loose a little bit because he was going in for what was probably going to be a 2-point shot. Mm-hmm. And that's what he ended up dribbling out to take what he thought was a 3. So Bridges did impact that play. And had it not gone in, maybe we'd be talking about that a little bit more. Of course, it did go in, whereas originally it looked like he'd won the game, complete with the Reggie Miller choke side and everything. Afterwards, elation for Halliburton and his teammates.
Basketball is fun. Winning is fun. And, I'm so proud of the resilience of this group. We've shown it all year. We've had to win in so many different random, unique ways. And today we just kept going, kept fighting, and that's fun.
And I was on TNT. He did admit he wouldn't have done the choke if he knew the shot was a 2 and not a 3. Longer clip here from the postgame press conference acknowledging the history of Reggie Miller, the choke, and Spike Lee.
I've seen that winning time doc probably like 50 times growing
different
up. So I know that they didn't win the series. So I would not like to repeat that. But, I think that's just a historic moment. And that was obviously more him versus Spike, kind of the one-on-one. And that just felt like it was to everybody. But to him, too, I wanted him to see it more than anything.
And then I thought TNT delivered one last knife to the Knicks fan last night, cutting away from the on-court madness after the game to show Reggie still with the headset on, with those piercing eyes. And he's just pointing seemingly at Halliburton, as I have to say. Good job.
Yeah,
that was rough.
Reggie, when Reggie ripped off his suit and had a Pacers jersey on in the fourth quarter,
a little much. No.
Reggie was trying. I give him credit for trying to be objective for part of the game.
I thought he was.
Oh, towards the end, forget it though.
Yeah. Oh, they put Stan Van Gundy in there as like an airbag for him. It's like, we can't just have this be Reggie in the garden. Let's throw Stan in there.
I thought Reggie was going to run over and start jumping in on the officials during the review and be like, that's Pacers ball. That's definitely Pacers ball. He got super biased by the end. I saw EJ, you were tweeting awful about it.
He was openly calling for them to overturn the turnover on OG Anunoby. Just like, you have to overturn this. I'm like, this is razor close.
He almost went we a couple times. Yeah. I could tell he wanted to go we. I get it.
Again, to be honest, it doesn't bother me. I told you guys last night, this is full WWE. Like, this is a show. Like, look what you saw last night. This is a show. So he's going to play the Bobby the Brain Heenan announcer. He's the heel announcer. Like, he didn't even bother me much last night, but it's obvious what's going on. Like, that was crazy. Him pointing at the team saying good job.
Right, but you're not saying it's scripted.
No, I'm saying WWE in the sense that, like, it's all about entertainment.
Yeah.
And that this is an entertainment product, and Reggie Miller being rooting for the Pacers in a Knicks-Pacers series is entertainment for some people.
Right, so, but if they could have scripted the ball going 15 feet in the air, that is an incredible feat by the NBA.
No, if they could have scripted it, his toe would have been on the line.
Yeah.
That would have been the game winner.
Right, right, right.
The choke would have stood
saying,
a lot cleaner.
I mean, yeah. If they're sophisticated enough to fix the lottery, maybe they can make that ball with magnets or something go into the basket. I'm not sure how.
Oh, man. Game two of the West Finals tonight in OKC after the Thunder took the series opener from the Timberwolves. And this will come after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was named league MVP for the first time. He finished behind Nikola Jokic last year.
To be honest with you, I use it as motivation. There's voters every year. That will never change. And last year, all it meant was that more people thought I should have won than should have won. And this year, I wanted to change the narrative.
And obviously, he was able to do that. Thunder held a press conference in his honor at the team's practice facility with his teammates flanking him. And they wore Rolex watches that he bought for them as a token of his appreciation, which was kind of nice. And lastly, Stanley Cup playoffs, Western Conference Final Game 1. The Dallas Stars on home ice, down 3-1 in the third period, ripped off 5 unanswered, including a trio of power play goals to beat the Edmonton Oilers 6-3.
CeeLo, thank you so much. If you're wondering what the chat thinks about this, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Pine Needle says, this is hilarious watching so much anger and despair. It's only game one. The Knicks could still easily win the series.
I agree.
Coming up next, got a revelation yesterday. Not too thrilled about it. Tell you about it next. MVP.